Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Glamier. Hi, this is Dr. Tabitha Samir. I'm a cosmetic dermatologist, owner, and founder of Mir Skin Cosmetic in New York City, and star of an Emmy Award-winning Bravo TV show. My podcast is all about great conversations with your favorite celebrities, media personalities, and well-known experts in the worlds of lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. Through their stories, I hope to uplift, inspire, and educate. This is Glamier.
Welcome back to another episode of Glamier with me, Dr. Tabitha Samir, and I want to talk today about beauty and how beauty does not come in one shade. And I am so excited to be talking with BuzzFeed's beauty editor, Essence Gant. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I have been a fan of your work. You are really like a voice for BuzzFeed's kind of pro-diversity in beauty.
Thank you.
And now you are going to be the host of a new digital media platform called As Is on BuzzFeed, which is going to be about all things beauty, diversity, and representation in the beauty industry.
Yeah. Right? So As is our new beauty platform. It's basically just all about inclusion, diversity, all of the things that we've been doing, all of the things that we've been known for. But it's like just that times a thousand. So there's some more nuanced storytelling. There's some new video series, some new celeb profile series. And it's basically just like all of our beauty and style verticals and entities like are now this one thing, which is As Is.
So it all feeds into this one thing. So it's all things. But, you know, one of the cool things by watching you and seeing what you're doing with us, you and the team at BuzzFeed, is it was really interesting that you said that you feel like you're giving a voice for people who are not seen in the beauty industry. So you're giving them a platform. Can you describe what that means?
Yeah, sure. I just think that one thing I always say is like people already have a voice, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that a lot of times people don't listen because they don't come in the package that we're used to listening to. Yeah. So, you know, there are so many people, trans people, who have contributed so much to the beauty conversation.
Oh my God,
people
everything
of color.
About contouring comes from
trans people, lace fronts. I'm honey,
the
lace
whole
fronts
contouring
were a thing
craze.
Before Beyonce.
You better
thank your trans sisters. So there are so many people who have contributed so much to the beauty conversation, and they, you know, a lot of times we just don't listen to them. So I always say I'm just giving them the mic, you know, using my platform and my privilege to work at BuzzFeed, this huge platform, to, you know, just give them the microphone so that people listen to them.
So I want to talk about diversity as a few things. Okay, it's Afro-American, it's Caribbean, it's mixed race, it's Latina, it's Indian, it's Asian.
Yeah,
it's everyone.
Everybody.
It's everyone. So I want to make sure that's understood.
For
because
sure.
sometimes when people talk about diversity, they are talking about one other.
Yes.
So this is everything. And I really
everything.
Like that you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking just before we started. And for me, okay, I remember going into, you know, that time when you play with makeup as a kid.
Yes.
You know, you're like 13, 12, and you start toying with it. Although my nieces are doing it at 6, but that's
it's
story.
A different generation. They're like famous YouTube stars now.
She knows what highlighter is.
Yeah.
And she's 6.
Yeah.
She's like, is that I'm like, oh my God. But God bless. I think it's great. But they have more to play with now. Mm-hmm. They have more colors to choose from. I remember I had this Barbie blue eyeshadow, and that was like all. It was Wet n Wild, the Barbie blue, and the blue eyeliner. That's all I had.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford the higher stuff. I was 13, so I would scrounge up like 50 cents to buy an eyeliner. And so you're basically trying to play with makeup, but as a woman of color, there are no shades to choose.
Nope.
So you're trying to fit your skin tone into the masses.
Yes.
And it didn't fit. And you knew it looked ridiculous, but you wanted to play with that.
Yeah. And you wanted to fit in. Like, you wanted to wear makeup like everybody else, too.
But did you feel like, because there was so much of a lack of choice at some point, that it made you realize that you don't fit in? At least in that media industry of what they were portraying as beauty.
I feel like I realized I didn't fit in long before I even thought about makeup. Yeah. I feel like subconsciously, just like not seeing myself and like, you know, the newsstand selection, or like going to the grocery store and waiting in line and seeing all the magazines and all the covers. And there's not one person in a lineup of 50 covers who looks remotely anything like you.
Right.
So I think I realized that like subconsciously very early on.
Yeah, it was because there was nobody that, for me too.
Yeah.
And so it does affect you. And then I also remember like going to the makeup counter like when I was in college thinking, okay, now I can afford a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, imagine going and discovering that your face does not fit into.
Yes.
Doesn't fit. And
so
this
real.
Woman, this woman's selling me like whitish, chalkyish, telling me it looks good and I look like kabuki, but I wore that for a while because I didn't know any better.
Right. And there aren't like options. And something else too, like I feel like for a lot of women of color, even drugstore makeup is not really an option. I'm like, you have to pay more because that's higher end brands are the only, for a long time, were the only brands that really took into consideration your complexion and your undertones and everything. So like for me, my first makeup foundation ever was like Clinique. I couldn't go and buy a drugstore foundation because they didn't have my shade. Literally, they didn't have my shade, or either they only sold my shade in certain locations because that's a thing too. So like I can maybe find my shade if I'm shopping at a drugstore in Brooklyn, but if I'm at a drugstore in the middle of Manhattan, that same brand may not sell my shade there, which is crazy.
It's crazy, and I notice it too.
Yeah,
you know, and it speaks to that the industry is because it's a lack of diversity. You have to spend more time and more money and look harder to find what you need. So is that what you're trying to change with what you're doing?
I think so. I think I'm just trying to change like a lot of things. Like obviously, like I want brands to be aware, and you know, fortunately, like the position that I'm in is giving me access to a lot of brands, and so it opens up opportunity for me to have those conversations. But I think overall, I just want to change the way people think about beauty, or for people to challenge themselves in the way that they think about beauty and why they think the way they think. Like, do you genuinely think this? Do you feel this in the bottom of your heart? Or are you just like going off of how you've been socially conditioned to think about beauty?
And what are you finding from doing it this way?
I think that I find that people realize like, oh, this is actually kind of ridiculous. Like it people come to these realizations.
What
like,
is ridiculous?
Like it doesn't make sense that like dark-skinned women can't wear red lipstick.
Right.
Or it's ridiculous that, you know, if I'm of a lighter skin, I can go into any drugstore and find my foundation. But for my dark-skinned friend, she can't. Yeah. Like, just to notice those things.
For me, the problem wasn't red lipstick. The problem was nude lipstick.
Nude! We did a whole story around it. Like, that was one of the first stories when I got to BuzzFeed in 2015 of just, like, how black girls can find their nude lipstick.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard. It, like, didn't exist.
And I kind of want to reiterate that this is not really about makeup. This we're talking about makeup as an example of our common struggle in not fitting into the media and what the media conceives as beautiful or traditional beauty.
Right.
So it's in the example of hair, makeup, beauty. What is, and another thing I want to say, what you're doing is you're trying to change that by giving people who are already doing a great job of this, and for people them to see them and hear them and relate to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
What does beauty mean to you? Like, what is your idea?
Beauty to me is, this is, okay, so I have to like, you know, preface, because it's going to sound conceited, and it's not to be conceited, but beauty
no judgment
to me is me, just like, and beauty to Samantha should be Samantha, and beauty to Lisa should be Lisa, like, beauty is me, like, there's no definition, so, like, beauty is dark skin, beauty is coily hair, beauty is big hoop earrings that I normally have on today, I don't, beauty is a head wrap when I don't feel like doing my hair, beauty is being loud, beauty is being goofy, like, beauty is just, I mean, there's no definition, it's just like who you are, and that's it, period.
But I like that, especially today with what's going on with the media industry and with social media. And I want to talk about beauty bloggers, how I think in the beginning they were such a great voice to the people that weren't heard, and now I feel like you've got to be careful what you're watching there too, because you don't know who's getting paid to say what anymore. What is you know, when you're kind of in your experience, what is the problem that in the beauty industry that they are lacking after all this time and everybody talking about this? Mm-hmm. Why are they not listening? Is it, it can't be money. You can't tell me that L'Oreal can't make shades.
Right.
I mean, I can understand some indie brands that are starting up.
Just starting, yeah.
What's going on? What's the problem?
It's funny because I actually find more range and diversity in indie brands, which is so funny because they don't have as much money. Mm-hmm. But I guess the disconnect, I think, it change doesn't happen overnight, mm-hmm. and I feel like when people are
conditioned, it hasn't been overnight. It's been generations.
it's been years. But I think, mm-hmm. like, I mean, we're dealing with this on so many levels in different ways. Like, we're talking about beauty, but we see that in, you know, social justice, and like we see this everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that like change is so slow, and you know, it shouldn't have to be that way. But that's just the reality. And I think that a lot of times when people are used to seeing something for so long a certain way, mm-hmm. it just takes forever for them to realize that, like, you know, this isn't the only way.
I think it's something else.
Okay,
I think
what
it's
do you
dollars.
Think?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think that for some reason that the fairer shades to these companies they thought would sell more than darker shades.
Okay.
I don't know why I think that, but I've always kind of felt that. Because maybe because I was a minority, I thought, well, there's less of me, so they're
and
making
more
less
of them.
Yeah. And I know that wasn't the case. That was just my mind at the time.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's obviously the communities that we're talking about are growing in population.
Yeah.
Like in England, one of the biggest growing population communities are the Bengalis, Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. And they're very dark skinned. So it's not a question of people that are buying it. But that's how I used to feel. Like maybe there's just not a lot
of my skin tone. It kind of is money and not. I feel like there is also like an idea a lot of times you see in like especially with high fashion designers, like you don't want people of a certain look to represent your brand, so you don't make products for them. And I think that is also definitely like a very real thing. You try to control who represents your brand.
Right. And I think the media also defines what kind of body type they want, what kind of skin tone, hair texture. And that is also changing. I remember reading once that covers of magazines sell more if it's a certain kind of girl on the front cover, and they sell less. So I think that also drives what people are.
Yeah.
What would you tell me your goal of as is? Like, what's your goal for it?
I think, like, just as a company, like all of us, our goal is to really be an authority in the beauty and style space, which we are, and to just do it differently from how we're used to seeing it be done all of these years. I think that's all of our goal, is to just like really celebrate people as they are, which is, you know, the name as is, but to just really celebrate people as they are, and to really set ourselves up as like a safe zone, a judgment-free zone, just like be you, come one, come all, come as you are. There are no, like, we don't have crazy rules here. Everybody is the it girl or it guy or whoever.
Inclusive.
Yeah, it's inclusive. And I think that's all, like, that's really our goal, is to just give everybody a voice.
What are some of the more fun, in your mind, episodes that you've seen, like your favorite content so far that you've kind of covered or like to talk about?
From us or just around?
From you specifically. Because you've done a lot of this before this. You're a beauty editor. So there
must
be stuff.
We've done a lot. Okay, so one of my favorite things that I wrote there that's like now 2 or 3 years old, it was like 19 photos of the world's most beautiful people. And it was literally me and one of our photographers, videographers there, Sierra, who's so talented, and we went to the Afropunk festival, and we literally just took shots of like everyday people there. No celebrities, you know, just regular people, different body types, sizes, genders, all of that, hair textures. And we made this long post and just like photo after photo of these regular people. And you see all of the time, like magazines do, you know, the world's
person
most
the
beautiful
street.
People
yeah.
issue, and it's always celebrities,
same girl.
Always the same person
same
on the cover, and it's always normally like a thin white woman. And so we just basically took that same kind of frame and made it ours, and we didn't announce it. We didn't say 19 photos of beautiful black people. It's like, no, 19 photos of the world's most beautiful people. That's it.
Yeah.
And period.
You're talking about celebrity also, how you didn't include celebrity. How do you think celebrity is defining or redefining today's idea of beauty? Because I have some feelings about this, but I definitely want to hear what you think.
It's weird because, like, I definitely think that, I mean, obviously celebrities will always have influence, but like I feel in the beauty space, influencers and like social media influencers are kind of like the new celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, and we even see that in our content, like the way our audience responds to social media influencers is so different than how they respond to celebrities.
Well, they respond more and they respect them more. But I do think that there is a narrative with like the way beauty is perceived that came a lot from celebrities in terms
for
of
sure.
body shape. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Kylie Jenner lip thing that blew up, and then the shapes of the bodies and the way people are. So I do think it has actually tried to make more inclusive and shown other angles of beauty, don't you think? Or do you
think
it's all the same?
I feel like we've gotten more inclusive. You know, a lot more than we used to be. So we've made a lot of progress. There's still a lot more work to do, but we've made a lot of progress. I do think, though, when it comes to bodies in particular and hairstyles, we're inclusive, but only if it's on a certain person.
Yeah.
So, like, Kylie can have full lips, and Kim can have a round bottom and still get on the cover of Vogue.
Yeah.
But Black woman or Latina woman cannot and get on the cover of Vogue.
Yeah.
So it's still like a lot of conversation to be had around that because it's you know, that's also very problematic.
Yeah, and that's not something I kind of thought about till you just mentioned that, because I was thinking, oh, well, they're showing a different type of body type and now it's more acceptable.
Only on like,
but
only on certain women.
Yeah.
But women who are naturally shaped like that and women who, who did not have work done to look like always looked like that are not celebrated in the same way.
One of the things that we just touched on was YouTube and beauty bloggers and how that's changed. I think that in the beginning, especially with the beauty industry coming up, people were using social media, Instagram and YouTube to showcase whatever the, you know, how they were wearing their makeup, what colors they were buying. They were testing shades out. And I think that that gave people an idea of different types of people out there that are doing this.
Right.
So a lot of times people will gravitate towards the bloggers that look like them.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can have an idea of where to go.
For sure. Yeah, representation is everything.
Right.
Like, representation, it's not enough just to have, like, you know, an Asian girl in an ad campaign, like, and just expect, like, all Asian women to, like, because, like, they too have different ranges and different undertones. So I think that's like the benefit of having so many influencers like pop off in the way that they did, is like you can find someone who looks so much like you, who has your same struggles, you know, who has your same undertones, your same hair texture, whatever, and like you can use them kind of like as your guide.
What do you think the downfalls of that is becoming these days?
Ooh, I think one of the major downfalls is now, because it is a real job, like to be a social media influencer, they have to make money, and so a lot of times you don't know if their reviews are authentic or if it's just like a brand pay them to say XYZ about something. And also too, they're not experts, and
they're
something like, especially when it comes to skincare
that
and hair care,
nuts.
I'm like, but you're not a dermatologist, and you should absolutely be like recommending that people go to a dermatologist. Even if you tried some DIY remedy and it worked for you, you can't really tell people to just try this and it's going to work. Like your advice should always be like, go to a dermatologist.
Yeah,
so that's the only thing. They're kind of positioned as experts when they're not.
Yeah. Well, a couple things about the whole going to an expert. You know, I've been watching some of these influencers, and when they talk about beauty in terms of the skincare, cosmetics, that's one thing. But then I've heard them talk about fitness.
Yeah.
I've heard them talk about diet. I had one major influencer, she's a major, major one, talk about how she lost weight. And I almost wanted to like reach into my computer and like, you know, be like, what are you doing? She was talking about how she did carb alternative. I don't even know. It's ridiculous. And it's, I do not advise this. I think it's ridiculous. But how one day she'll eat white carbs and then the next day she'll eat brown.
Okay.
And I just, this is what I said.
I'm like, maybe it's a new thing. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
It's not. And there's no way your body is saying to itself, oh, this is a brown carb, this is better for me. No. It's all about calories. Like, if you really listen to what she was doing, she had limited her caloric intake. But in her mind, she was like, well, brown carbs, white carbs. And I'm thinking to myself, please don't give people this advice. You've got 4 million eyes on you.
Mm-hmm.
I had another girl talk about how something happened with her skin and she rubbed this cream on it and it worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an antifungal cream that
right.
she was putting on acne, you know?
Yeah.
And that stuff you have to be careful of.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing is the advertising part of it. You don't know anymore.
Yeah, you don't know if it's like real or not, if they're like saying it because they get paid. And like, we see that with all the like diet teas. I'm like, you guys work out and you get surgery, and you like don't say that this is your body from a glass of tea.
Well, exactly. One of the things as a doctor that used to happen with us is we would have pharmaceutical reps come in to talk about their drugs, and they would do things like take you to dinners or throw parties for you. This was before I was even practicing. This was like my father's generation. Mm-hmm. So they would kind of take you to these fancy trips, or they pay for these weekends or whatever. They aren't allowed to do that anymore because it influences the drugs that we're recommending. Mm-hmm. I feel like the same thing's happening in beauty.
For sure.
You've got a major company like Tarte taking all of these influencers on this Hawaii vacation. Of course, they're not going to criticize anything the brand does.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thing that happens. There are some influencers that are super authentic. I can think of one now,
Ina.
Yes, yeah. Ina. Yeah. And I feel like she, for the most part, as far as I've seen, kind of gives you the real. If she doesn't like something, it doesn't matter what you've given her. She's like, I didn't like it. It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And if she likes it, she'll say she likes it. So I think you just have to be very realistic with yourself when you're like sifting through influencers. And like, if they never have a bad thing to say about anything, it's
beware.
Like, okay, yeah, beware. But if you can tell that they're pretty, like, you know, unbiased, then I think it's
fine. I think people are getting smarter, because I can think of a few, which I won't name, that are I have watched them along the years, and one of them, she's becoming like this superstar, you know, like she's got this brand that she's an ambassador for, she's done a product line with somebody else, and she's gone from being just her and her husband, him taping her, to being like this kind of mega star,
celebrity.
I'll watch her nowadays and I don't trust the things she's saying. She reviewed, like, if she's putting on a look and showing me how she's putting that on, that's great,
right?
But if she's reviewing something, I take it with a grain of salt,
right?
Because I'll see her at an event for that and then reviewing it, and it's like everybody else is talking about how this thing isn't working for them, and she's like, well, you know, and I'm like, okay, and then you see that was sponsored, so can we talk about this Tarte fiasco that happened with the foundations
and the lack of shades?
What was the backstory for that?
I know we covered it. To be honest, this is so like
just
so
to give
normal.
People a backdrop.
Yeah, it happens so often. So basically, you know, Tarte released a line of foundations, and the shade ranges were not inclusive at all. So if you weren't super fair skin, it just was not a foundation that would work for you. I mean, it happens all the time. Like, I literally see it all the time. So for me, I'm like almost kind of like desensitized.
But why was there such a huge backlash to Tarte? If you say it happens all the time, Tarte took a beating from the social media community.
I think because now, just if it catches on social media that day, then you get dragged for it. Like, it's just, I mean, I saw it happen again recently over the weekend with another brand. So, like, I think it's just, like, if it happens and people catch on to it, if it's all you need is one person with, like, influence to, like, tweet about it and call it out, and then people just drag it. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely happens all the time. I think they were just probably one of the most recent, you know, recipients of the backlash.
I personally have never seen anything that severe, because it's a new time now where people are on social media and they can really influence how your sales are. And I mean, maybe it's happened before, but now it was like severe backlash on them, and everybody voicing about the lack of diversity. And then they said something which I thought was hilarious, and I want to hear your take on it. They said, well, we're waiting till the summer to release the darker shades for the tanned people. Well, I buy skin color foundations that say tan, but I'm not tan. This is my color.
Right. This is your all year round.
Yeah.
Every day of the year, 24/7.
What can we do to make it better?
Honestly, that's not on me. Like, brands need to do their job, and if you don't want my coins, then that's fine. But like, that's on you. Like, that's on the brands. Like, it's not that kind of work shouldn't have to fall on people of color. Like, that's your job,
right?
To make sure.
But don't you think
inclusive.
Putting that voice out there?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, like, covering it, for sure, like, is one thing that we can do, but. Yeah. I mean, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on the brand.
Keep your voice out there, right? Okay, some fun stuff, because that was all heavy. What is some of the things that coming up, like you have your summer warm months hopefully coming up. What are some of the topics that you find interesting to cover during this time of year?
Ooh, like always, like, because it's like festival season, people are outside a lot more. Yeah. People are at day parties, so people always want to know, like, how can I like control my sweat? So that's it's always fun to like test like alternatives. I think I'm probably gonna try that. Like when it gets hot here, it's still like snowing in New York.
I know,
but I think that's something I want to try. Is like some like natural alternatives to deodorant. By the way, I'm like so pro chemical when it comes to to deodorant. Like
bring
I'm like
on give that me, aluminum.
Give me all the toxins, but I do. I know there are so many people who are not and who really like to live a like organic and
you
know,
a lot.
Lifestyle. So that's something that I kind of want to try out. I think it'll be fun. Probably smelly, but fun.
If you find something that works, let me know because I haven't had any luck with the natural stuff.
Me either. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, but I don't think
I'm like putting on that extra strength. I'm like, yeah. All right. And what about with skincare trends and such? I noticed that there's a lot more people savvy with SPF and a lot more companies putting tints.
For sure.
That. What kind of stuff? Do you have any inside scoop on any of this for us?
I recently converted to a K-beauty, a Korean beauty skincare routine, and I am obsessed. I turned, actually, I'm 31 now, but when I turned 30, I noticed that, like, my skin changed, you know, and I don't know if it was, like, hormonal or what, but my skin changed. Prior to that, I didn't really have any skin issues, like, and so then 30, and I would get, like, a flare-up here, a flare-up there, and so I was like, I'm going to try double cleansing, using essences, and, like, all of that good stuff, and I noticed a significant improvement. So I think like K-beauty, and it's super popular right now. It's definitely like trendy, but also I like it because it's like trendy, but it also does deliver results.
What are the biggest mistakes you see people making when they try new skincare?
I think a lot of people don't exfoliate. Like people severely underrate exfoliation and people don't use SPF, and it's like, even if you're dark skinned, you still gotta use SPF. Like
you feel
it's so
it like
real.
10 years later. Like I used to be that girl when we'd be on the beach with my friends, I was slathering myself with sunblock, and everybody used to make fun of me, like you know, like joking around. I was like, come see me in 10 years. And now all of a sudden 10 years later they're like, what do you do to maintain? I'm like, you remember all that things that I had on my face? Okay, who's laughing now? But yeah, that is important. One of the things I see a lot that's a mistake is people overdo it. They over scrub, they over exfoliate, they overtone, they buy
everything.
700 different types of creams and they don't know what's happening, and that causes flare-ups. Then they think they're sensitive, but they're actually
irritating. Their skin is tired.
Needs a break. I'm really excited about what you guys are doing. And what are some of the segments that we can see coming up for As Is?
Well, we just launched a celebrity profile series called Close Up. Our very first person we featured was Pat McGrath.
Oh, she's
legendary
great.
Makeup artist. She was
amazing.
That must
have been exciting for you.
Yes, it was absolutely amazing. And so that's something that's in the pipeline. We also have like a new show with one of our like amazing video producers and personalities in LA named Jasmine. A social star show that's launching soon. So
you're gonna have influencers on your shows too, probably in the future.
Yeah, for sure. We we love to work with influencers.
Yeah, that's great.
Like
where can people watch
people.
It? Yeah, that's true.
On
and
As
people
Is.
Love them.
On yeah, As so Is. On As Is. And on YouTube, it's As Is, like As/Is on YouTube.
Gotcha. So look for
Facebook,
that.
Facebook, everything.
And how often do you guys release episodes? Is it weekly?
It just depends. So I'm not exactly sure with, do you know, for Social Star?
Not yet.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah,
still in the
figuring
works.
It out.
Was I
but
allowed to say anything? Hopefully. Okay. So we're still figuring out. Some things are still in the works.
Cool.
But with the Close Up profile series, it'll be pretty frequently.
Awesome. So check that out on YouTube, As Is. And thanks for being here. I had
Thank
a great
you.
Time talking to you. We talked about more than just skin color. We talked about everything,
everything.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy. Oh, where
thanks.
Can people find you on social media?
TheEssenceOf_.
Got it. So look for that and watch As Is. It's a lot of fun and it's great content, and I appreciate you guys being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.